Hello and welcome to Harvest Church Podcast. Harvest Church is based in sunny Durban, South Africa. We are a family of believers who are passionate about Jesus. We really hope this message inspires you today.
First Corinthians 15, verse 3, it says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according with the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." Of first importance. So this morning what I'm going to do is I want to share 10 benefits of the resurrection. 10 benefits. There's a whole lot more, but I think I can squeeze in 10 in about 35 minutes. So what it does mean is means we're going to work fast. There's going to be a buffet, and then after the service, you get to choose from this beautiful buffet of what Jesus has given us and the benefits that we have because of the resurrection. Why we're sitting here today, not only the death of Christ, not only that he took our punishment that we deserve for sin upon himself on Good Friday, but we're sitting here justified because of the resurrection. Amen. If it wasn't for the resurrection, none of us would be justified. Someone would die, but if they're not raised from the dead, then how can they give you salvation? How can they give you the life that they now have? So therefore, there's no one else that can save you. In the book of Acts 4:12, it says, "For there is no other name under heaven by which man can be saved." It's only Jesus. Every other religion that you know, and that you can go and study, every single person that led that religion is dead, and they stayed dead. But Jesus is alive. And this is the basis of our faith. This is the basis of why we sit here today. So I'm going to read a portion of scripture, and then we're going to go through some of these benefits. Are you good? Amen. Please put up the scripture on the screen. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 12 to 26. Paul speaking, he says, "But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying that there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless." And Paul says, "We apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave, but that can't be true if there's no resurrection of the dead. And if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, then we are more to be pitied than anyone else in the world. But in fact," verse 20 says, "Christ has been raised from the dead. He's the first of a great harvest of all who have died. You see, just as death came into the world through a man called Adam, through sin, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man, Christ. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given a new life." Who belongs to Christ here this morning? That's wonderful. At least 80%, which gives me a real target at the end of the service. Just tie yourself onto your seat. Everyone who belongs to Christ has a new life, has been given new life. But there's an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest, and then all belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. After that, the end will come when he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. First benefit is hope. Hope is our eternal foundation. It's a foundation of our faith. And let's read some scripture. 1 Peter 1:3, it says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again." People often think that God's mercy is now available because of the work of Christ. No, it was God's mercy that brought the work of Christ. Because his desire was for all men to be saved, that he said, "Jesus, go. I send you because of my love for mankind." It was God's willingness and his desire to treat you better than you deserve that he sends Christ. It was because of his mercy that Christ came. He's not offering mercy because of the work of Christ. God is merciful. His mercy is new every morning, and his desire was for you and I to be reconciled to him. His great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, that word hope, a confident expectation of good. Hope in two realms, hope for an eternity and a hope for an anchor for our soul while we live here. And we have a priceless inheritance. Say a priceless inheritance. Priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure, undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, here's your partnership with God. Through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive the salvation which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must enjoy many trials for a little while. If you don't have hope, what do you have? If you don't have a confident expectation of the goodness of God revealed in your life, then trials are going to overcome you. Count it pure joy, Paul says, of the trials. Joy is connected with hope because hope is connected to the God of all promises that are yes and amen. He says this in Hebrews 6 verse 16. How beautiful is this scripture? "Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it." When you made an oath to get married, you had somebody come and present that to you and hold you accountable to your marriage. And without any question, that oath is binding, which should remain binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. Aren't you happy that God never changes his mind? Aren't you happy that the new covenant is the new covenant and that there's no more sacrifice for sin? Aren't you happy that he's never going to change his mind, that he's completely satisfied with the work of Christ on your behalf? He's not going to change his mind when you believe. He's not going to change his mind when you change your mind. He remains faithful when we sometimes are faithless. He's not going to change his mind concerning you, concerning his promises over you. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Impossible for God to lie. He's not going to change his mind about you and about your future. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge. I fled to him for refuge. Anybody else over here actually realize that you fled to him for refuge? Or I better choose Jesus, that's a good idea. If Jesus was just a good idea for you, then guess what? Another good idea is going to come along. But I fled to him for refuge, the Bible says, and have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. Oh, this is your security in your eternity, but he says you can experience that eternity now. In Hebrews 4, it says with boldness and confidence, you can come to the throne room of grace and you receive mercy and you'll find grace to help you in your time of need. But it's hope. It's a confident expectation that God is going to keep his promises and that God doesn't lie. Amen? And now then, dear brothers, next slide. Brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died so that you'll not grieve like people who have no hope. We've got hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. That gives us hope of our family members and people in our legacy, in our generations. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living, when the Lord returns, will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of an archangel, with a trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died and will rise from their graves. And then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words, because this keeps us going for the sake of our eternities. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. Love is the greatest, but hope is connecting faith and love to your life. Number two, forgiveness. Resurrection gives us forgiveness. Look how important this is. See, if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, what did 1 Corinthians 15 say? That you're going to remain in your sins. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Only someone who's alive can make you right with God. NIV says he was delivered over to death for our sins, and he was raised to life for our justification. What is the word justification? Justification means this: you've been declared righteous, and then God treats you as he declares you. Amen. How awesome is that? A God who cannot lie declares you righteous by your faith in him. He not only declares you righteous, he treats you then as you are righteous. Even when you act unrighteously, he will not change his mind concerning you. That's what changes our lives, to walk in righteousness. This is how we come into the kingdom. In Romans 10 verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's how your salvation comes. You're believing in the resurrection of Christ. That's why it's so important to understand the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. It encompasses the full outworking of what Christ wants to release to you through his life. Friends, from this moment, because of that, you and I can live righteousness conscious, not sin conscious. Forgiveness. The resurrection gives us forgiveness. Number three, power. Who needs power, or who needs the ability of God to get the job done? And that's what's so amazing about him. He doesn't want to leave you powerless. He doesn't want to leave you in your old state, wanting you to do what he wants you to do without the ability to do it. It was what Ron was saying. Grace. Grace is the realm of God's ability. His ability which helps you to get the job done. Listen to what Philippians 3:10, Paul says, I want to know Christ and I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I can experience the resurrection from the dead. What do you need to be raised out of? Today in this room, what do you need to be raised out of? Is it sickness? Is it debt? Is it broken relationships? Is it addiction? What do you need to be raised out of? Let's pray. Let's pray for God's mighty power to be at work in your life. If one of those things, or many other things, whatever's in your life that you need to be resurrected from, let's pray that the mighty power of God, which exerted in raising Christ from the dead, will now manifest in your life, or manifest in the seed of your faith, that his power can be released. Let's close our eyes. If you need to be raised out of debt, quickly slip up your hand. Okay, slip your hand down. Father, I thank you that you manifest your mighty power and people will be raised out of debt in Jesus' name. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Spirit who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies right now, will give life into this area that your power can come, that people be raised out of debt. in Jesus' name. If you've got sickness in your body and you need to be raised up out of sickness, raise up your hand. And posture your faith with me as I pray. Father, I thank you for your mighty power right now in people's bodies. Is the resurrection, life, and power of God in people's minds, in people's hearts, in people's bodies. Right now in Jesus' name, we cancel all assignment because it was broken by Christ and the resurrection of his power that nothing else can stand but the mighty power of God. We release that in Jesus' name. If you've got addictions, raise up your hand. Everyone's eyes closed. You can put it up. Not yet to embarrass anybody, but I'm going to pray for it, anybody. Anything. Phone, pornography. There's so many things that people can be attached to that the mighty power of God can break right now. Father, I thank you for your mighty power to come to break addiction of people's lives in Jesus' name. This is the promise of resurrection life in people's lives in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for addictions to be broken now in Jesus' name. If you've got broken relationships, why don't you put up your hand? It's Easter weekend. People are going to go and have lunch with people. You don't want to go and be that person who has a broken relationship at lunch. You want to go with the mighty power of God as a restored individual to restore other individuals. Father, I thank you for the heart that you have for our relationships, for our marriages, and for our families. I thank you, Father, that your mighty power comes upon your sons and your daughters and upon families. Father, that we have the ability, the grace, and the power to make right with you, to make right with others. And I thank you, Father, for the posture of your love that will manifest itself as love as we go out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who is in you. Listen to what Ephesians 1:17 says. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the scripture that Tons used earlier, so that you may know him better. You may come to know him experientially, not in your mind, not intuitively, but actually experientially that you may know him better. I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion, every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And then finally, he will come and destroy the final one, which is death completely. But you and I get to partner with him in bringing down all forms of strongholds, all other authorities, all dominions, because he's got his power in you to outwork that in Jesus' name. He's given you the authority and the power to bring change in your life and people's lives around you. Philippians 2, verse 12, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I haven't been to gym for a while, but I plan to go back. But I've got a limitation in my mind because I realize the pain that I'm going to have after a couple of days of gym. But the Bible says this, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's like going to gym and not being able to move your hand or your arms or your legs afterwards. It's like if you do legs, when you're going to go sit on the couch or the toilet, you drop, boom, because it's too painful. Now, you guys laugh. You've done it before, haven't you? If you've ever worked your legs. If you're not working your legs, then the part of your body, you're going to look like Johnny Bravo. You shouldn't do that. You have to work your legs. But when you work your legs and you can't sit properly, if you can't brush your teeth, all of those things. But that's what it says. You work out, you work it out. You work out your salvation, this good salvation of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in the empowerment of the authority. You work it out with fear and trembling. And it says this, for it is God who works in you. God works in you while you're working it out. While you're working it out, the supernatural strength and power of God is at work in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Keep renewing your minds. Keep active. Keep in the presence of God. Keep gathering as a church, because the Bible says it's good for you to do that. So grateful that everybody's in the house today. But work it out. Keep renewing your mind. Sit under the Word of God, but not only once a week. Go and sit under the Word of God with the Holy Spirit as He teaches you. Amen. Number four, victory over death. Aren't you happy about this? There's victory over death. 1 Corinthians 15:45. The scripture tells us the first man, Adam, became a living person or a living soul, mind, will, and emotions, how you feel. But the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. Adam couldn't give you life. Jesus gives you life. What comes first is the natural body. Then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man, and heavenly people are like the heavenly man. Oh, I want to be a heavenly man. Just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. What I'm saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret, Paul says. We will not all die, but we'll be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and those who are living will be transformed. I don't know what will be better. Just remember, it's the creative miracle power of God. When you get raised from the dead, you meet your body, which is now incorruptible, and you will meet your body, which is now immortal. If Lord Jesus, may I be one of the ones? May I be one of the ones? I'm 50. Youngsters might see it. Oldies, come on, hold on to the anchor of your soul. But what I'm saying is, I would love to experience being transformed. There's a transfiguration that happens. You go and see that happened to Jesus when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. His body completely changed from one form to another. That metamorphosis took place. That he then, he could be in the spirit and in the natural at the same time. After he was raised from the dead, he walked through a wall and he ate. I don't know how that's possible, but it's going to be a good movie to watch one day. Incorruptible. We will not all die, but we'll be transformed. Either or, we're going to meet him. Either or, we're going to meet him. It will happen in a moment, in a blink of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15:53. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then when our dying bodies have been transferred into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? But listen to this scripture for your life now. For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. Preaching the law strengthens people's sin. And that word that came, it's all about grace. It's all about grace. You don't know the extent of his grace. Friends, if I preach the law, it's going to strengthen the thing that you're battling with. It's going to. It's going to be the fight between your flesh and the spirit. If I preach stuff to you that you need to attain to for the acceptance and the approval of God, apart from Christ, I take you back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's going to strengthen sin in you. If you've got strength in your sin currently, you need to come under another covenant called the new covenant. Because that's the covenant that sets you free and into liberty to walk like Christ. Ooh, it felt good. But thank God, look here. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said it in Romans 7, friends. Paul said it. Paul explains his life in Romans 7 of a man who was under the law. And he says, I try and do the things that I want to do, but I can't. And the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. What a wretched man I am. And then he says at the end of Romans 7, who can help this wretched man? Oh, yes, it's Christ. And in Romans 8, he goes, oh, therefore, those who are in Christ, there's no condemnation.
Because you realized I had to come out of that yoke and I had to come in and yoke myself with Christ. Why are we yoking with ourselves with something that he says is now obsolete and fading away? You know, he says it's fading away because you are no longer concentrating your life on it. You are now fixed on Jesus. And you're following. And you just follow and you follow and you keep your nose on the back of his neck. That's how you follow. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong, be immovable, always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is useless. Number five, peace. John 14:26, Jesus speaks about the Helper. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, and the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Why don't we spend more time with him? Look what he says. The Father has sent in my name. I will teach you all things. Jesus says in 27, peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Where are you trying to get peace? If Christ has offered it, he says, my peace I'll give you. I give it. It's mine. It's not the peace that we go and seek from the world. In the midst of struggles, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of all of these things that go outside of us and our circumstances, and all of these warring things that are up against us, if you don't have his peace here, how do you speak and declare peace to what's outside of you? Jesus is the example of that. He wakes up in his boat and he's in a storm, but what he had inside of himself was superior to that which is outside of himself. Peace be still, and it manifested. It listened, it obeyed because what he carried inside of him was superior. He says, I leave you my superior peace to speak to everything that's confronting you. My peace I leave with you. My peace. You see, this kind of message leaves you at a place where you can't do this without Christ. You have to come close to Christ. I'm provoking you to get to him and go to him because he made the way open that you can go to him. Peace is how we stand. Peace that transcends your understanding. You see, thankfulness shifts your soul around, your mind, your will, and emotions to access his peace. Look what it says in Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Sometimes we need to stop with scriptures. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but every situation, prayer, petition, thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, the peace of God will transcend all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of Christ is like this, where people see you and they know the circumstances they're going through. They know the state your body is in. They know the state your bank account's in. They know the state your relationships is in. But you've connected to the peace of Christ. So they ask you, why are you not freaking out? And he's like, I don't know, but I just asked for the peace of Jesus. I went to Jesus and I said, Jesus, you said, my peace I give you and leave you. And you go and access that peace because he's a promise keeper. He does not lie. He says, I'm going to give you my peace. But we don't access his peace in the midst of our turmoil. We try and fight it in our strength. There's always something stronger than your strength. Always something stronger than your willpower. Nothing stronger than the grace of God. Joy. Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's though that package is the most beautiful sandwich if you could just go and ask God about righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness because my position, my identity is secure in peace because I've been justified by faith. I have peace with God. Not only that I have peace with God, you understand that God is at peace with you. Because nothing that you have done is greater than the work of Christ. He's at peace with you. He's at peace with mankind. That's why he says, fear not every time you meet him. I'm at peace with you. 16, verse 22, he's speaking to his disciples and he's trying to explain to them, listen, you've got pain and you've got grief now, but there's joy. There's joy for you. And it's like when a lady, I don't know it, but I did see it on my wife's face, when you have babies, there's pain, there's grief, there's all this stuff. And when the baby comes, all it's gone. The memory of all that is gone. Gents, don't even try and say that you know what I'm talking about. You don't. So ladies know what I'm talking about. And he says, in the same way, now is your time of grief. Why? Because Jesus promised there's going to be trouble. I've overcome the world. This is like not if, there's when trouble comes. But I will see you again and you will rejoice and no one will take your joy. No one has to take your joy, friends. It's the same as standing in a confident expectation and people think, what are you actually saying? Why are you so confident? Why are you declaring the scriptures? Look what's happening in your life. That's hope. I sit in this place and I'm not looking for happiness because happiness is around happenings. Joy is in who you know. It comes from the person of Christ. Had more joy than all his companions, the Bible says. He leaves us his joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength, the Bible says. It helps us face life. How can you be unmoved in that moment with a smile on your face when you're under such fierce trials? Because you met the person of joy. A resurrection life. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. It was joy that carried him through. New identity, and we all know it, but just a little emphasis. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. I give you permission to walk in your new life. Amen. Amen? You have to meditate on it. My old life's gone. The new life's begun. You can't fix. You try to fix it. You couldn't do it. That's why you needed a savior. Then he releases his power for you to outwork that in your life. Because it's called resurrection power. Number 8, purpose. Ephesians 2:8. For God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. This is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the things you've done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. Please say that, I'm masterpiece. I'm God's masterpiece. You have to say it. I'm God's masterpiece. See, you guys don't really want to engage that well. If you're not in the mirror agreeing with God, who you agreeing with? I look in the mirror, even though I look like this, I'm his masterpiece. You know, God only made a couple of perfect heads. The rest he put hair on. Stand in front of the mirror, even that I got a bit chubbier. I'm God's masterpiece. Because I'm not defined by the world. I'm not defined by my comparisons. I'm not defined by my differences. I'm defined by his word. You see, your purpose needs this one thing. Freedom from comparison. Because then we try and be somebody else, it becomes impossible. I can't do what you are doing. I don't want to. Some of you, what you do is hard work. But I don't want to compare. My purpose is my purpose. My purpose is what God's called me to. What's your purpose? It has to be free from comparison. You know, at the foot of the cross, there's no female, no male. We're all one in Christ. What's your purpose? You have to figure that out in Jesus. But it has to be free from comparison. It has to be free from other people. It has to be free from what other people are doing. Free from comparison. I saw the streets of China packed with young men and women with these circle little lights. And the guys have started businesses and they've opened factories that you can sit in a little booth and you want to be an influencer and you want to be a TikToker because the world is revolving around comparison. And I have to be this to be accepted. I have to be this to be approved of. I have to be this to be seen successful. I have to be... It's a tragedy. Us who know our identities need to go and share an identity apart from what people do. Our significance is from what God has called you to. Because then you don't do it out of duty, you do it out of design. Your purpose is to bring His kingdom here, now, right now. Your purpose needs you in the Word. Because that's where you're going to find your purpose. Because we're all gifted. This body is so different. It's hands and arms and legs and eyes and ears. And I can't compare myself to anybody else. But when the body works together, we all grow. We all grow together, the Bible says. Number 9, unity. Paul, and listen to Paul's language. You think I'm intense or Kevin's intense, but Paul's intense, man. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you. Beg you. What was his posture when he's writing this? I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Say, I've been called by God. You don't have to figure it out. Just accept that you're called. And he'll figure it out in you. It's God who works and wills in you to fulfill his purpose. Didn't we read that scripture before? It's God who works in you. God, I'm called. Your Bible says I'm called. Your word says I'm called. Don't figure it out. Take his word. Eat it. Make every effort. Always be humble. Be gentle, be patient with one another, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace, unity. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as being called to one glorious hope in the future. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. There is one way to salvation. There's not, we'll all end up making it. No. It's Christ and Him alone. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man shall come to the Father but by me. There is no other way to connect to the Father but by Christ. There's no other religion. There's no other way. There's no spiritualism. There's nothing. All of that's a doctrine of demons. I want to let you know it's Christ and Him alone. And he's released resurrection power, which comes with benefits for us to live like Christ. But then there's grace for the process. Because we can't. I know me. But my endeavor is to get closer and closer and closer in my mindset, in my attitudes, in my posture, in my faith, in my belief, in my acknowledgement, in my love for fellow man. That's Jesus. That's it. There's no division where we go after the spirit of unity. Division. Where there's division, there is the magnification of differences. When you magnify differences, division manifests. Racism, classism, elitism, individualism, all the other isms. If you magnify differences, division will manifest. Friends, not in this house. Each person is valuable to Christ and we treat them accordingly. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, we no longer regard anyone according to the flesh. We have to see each other according to righteousness, according to being God's sons and daughters. Then we won't allow this stuff in. We don't magnify differences. Because we don't want division to manifest. Unity commands a blessing. Let's fight for our unity, not for our entitlement. Come on, church. Number 10, future. We've got a future. Future with God for those who are in Christ. And you have to make a choice of where you want to be. Revelations 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and sorry for the surface, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. That's you and I. Beautifully dressed for our husband. We cannot tolerate a doctrine that says Jesus is going to come and rescue a church that is defeated and powerless and insignificant on the earth. No. It's a beautiful, powerful, significant bride who knows who she is. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. And he will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. These things will be gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new, Jesus. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. Are you still thirsty? Are you still hungry? All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is the fiery lake of burning sulfur, and this is the second death. We've got benefits when it comes to the kingdom. We've got benefits because of the resurrection of Jesus. We've got benefits because the promise that on the third day he would be raised. We've got benefits, friends. And if you want to enter into those benefits, you need Jesus. So let's stand together and pray. I want to ask some questions. Number one, are you experiencing the benefits of the resurrection life? I trust today that you'll take away the word of God, because there's a lot of word. And you'll take what is needed for you in this current time and place where you might find yourself. Go and thank him and see yourself receiving whatever's needed because of the resurrection power of God. Number two, maybe you've walked away from walking with Jesus because it got just too difficult and you couldn't break through in some of the things that have been operating in your life. You need to come out of the law and you need to come to Jesus. If you've walked away and you know you need to come back, there's a Holy Spirit is in the room, and because you are unique and you're priceless to him, he's drawing you. You've walked away and you know today you need to return. I want you to raise up your hand for me, please. I'm going to pray for you. And the second person in this room, maybe you've never come to Jesus and you've never come into the saving knowledge and revelation that Jesus is your Savior, but needs to become your Lord. He was on the cross for your sins, but he was raised up for your justification, which means to release the gift of righteousness, which qualifies you to be a son or a daughter of God. You've never come to Jesus. Let today be your day. He's knocking on the door. And Jesus said this, if you acknowledge me before man, I'll acknowledge you before the Father. Friends, don't walk out of this place not receiving Christ and then the benefits of resurrection power. If that's you, I also want you to raise up your hand that I can pray for you. Thank you. And thirdly, sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. I also want you to repent, coming out of the law and entering into grace. Let's all pray together. I want you to pray this with me. So Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you raised Christ from the dead. That I can be called justified. That I am right with you. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of you. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a saint. I'm a new creation. And I'm empowered to make a difference. Today, I give myself to Christ. As a follower, with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my soul, with all of my strength. And I give myself to be discipled by the grace of God that will liberate me, that will change me, and that will enter me into purpose. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every single one of us in this room. So grateful for your resurrection. So grateful for the benefits of your resurrection power and your resurrection life. Thank you, Father, that you sent Jesus who counted it all joy and endured the cross because he knew the promise came with resurrection. I thank you, Father. I can find all things in you. Through you, because of you. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to empower this people to follow you, to walk like you. And those who are hungry and thirsty, he gives us living water. He gives us living water. So I thank you, Father. It's a privilege and an honor to be born again. To be called a child of God and to be empowered by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.